presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence. Come on, if that's your prayer tonight, sing it out. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. The presence of your glory. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence of my Savior. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Let me walk upon the waters. Wherever you would call me, take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. And my faith will be made stronger in the presence.
Wasn't that a beautiful time of worship? I just want to say, I didn't say it earlier, but we're so glad. We appreciate this. My son, Luke, and his wife, Francesca. And they came up from Miami to lead worship for us tonight. So give them a big round of applause. We appreciate them coming up here. Love it. So good. And my son is the worship leader at VU Church in Miami with Pastor Rich Wilkerson Jr., and God's doing great things through their lives and through the church, VU Church in Miami. And we're just so proud of Luke, and we're so proud of Francesca and their two little grandchildren, Roman and Olivia, at home with Francesca's mom. They haven't seen your mom in like 3 weeks because of the whole shutdown, so they were glad to get to see everyone's happy. So anyway, praise the Lord. Tell your neighbor, I'm happy you're here tonight. I'm happy I'm here tonight. Amen. I tell you what, this is the hottest band in Jupiter right here. The hottest band in town right here. We should go tell Double Roads. Someone go over to Double Roads and tell them the hottest band is right here tonight. Praise God. How many of you can say, it is well with my soul? It is well with my soul. You know, when you receive Jesus, that's when you can say. When you receive Jesus in your life, you can say, it's well with my soul. Because when you receive the Lord, and the Bible says that we belong to Him and He belongs to us. And when you belong to God, you know, the Lord takes care of the things that belong to Him. I take good care of things that belong to me. One time, Francesca and Luke were at my house, and she saw a pair of sunglasses that I bought in 1993 in San Francisco, some Giorgio Armani. I haven't worn them in years. They're like brand new. And she said, could I have them? I said, sure. What do you call them? retro? Vintage. There's some vintage sunglasses for you. I take care of things that belong to me. And let me tell you, you belong to the Lord. And the Lord take care of you. That's why you don't have to worry. He's your healer. He's your provider. He's your protector. That's why I don't worry. I honestly do. I learned a long time ago. I do not worry. Jesus said you never need to worry. No matter what you're facing, just trust Him. He causes all things to work together for your good. Amen. Well, we had a great time this morning. We're so glad to have Prophet Ed Trout back with us tonight. We're going to turn him loose. You don't mind I wore my hat tonight, do you? I mean, even if you did mind, I'm still going to wear it. But this helps me. It saves me a lot of time on my hair. This hair is a mission, let me tell you. So I just put my hat on. I don't have to do my hair. And then Stacy, where you at? To welcome you back in your honor. I wore these shoes in your honor, Stacy. There you go. Some bling. That's the lady with bling right there. She's known as Mrs. Bling. And we're in competition right now, Stacy. You better come up here. You get me off here. Praise God. Pastor Gillian Barry right here.
Ed was asking me if you're wearing my shoes tonight.
You got to be a real man to wear shoes like this. A real man.
I said, I don't wear anything so glittery. Praise God. Well, welcome to Ascend Church. I'm glad to be in church twice this Sunday. How about you? Amen. Well, welcome to those that are watching online. We're glad you've joined us. We had an excellent message. I love hearing Prophet Ed Trout teach the word. First of all, he's Jewish, so he has an understanding of Jewish things, which really helps when you're reading your Bible. And then he knows Israel. We went to Israel. A number of us from our church went with him last year. And we really wanted to go with him. I said, if we go to Israel, we're going with Ed, because he really knows the whole, you know, so much of the background. So when he teaches the word, I love it, because it opens up scriptures and just brings a fresh light to it. Even what he said about John the Baptist this morning. So I'm looking forward to tonight. Just your understanding of the day today is Pentecost Sunday. We are celebrating the time where the Holy Spirit was sent to the church. Isn't that amazing? You know, I heard someone say it this way. Jesus was the gift to the world. The Holy Spirit is the gift to the believers. And so really important to us. But welcome to church. I shouldn't be preaching. I just want to give us an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God tonight. I would like to first welcome visitors, apparently. First, I'm going to welcome visitors. We do things backwards on Sunday nights. Is anybody visiting us for the first time tonight? We love having visitors. If you're here for the first time, just wave your hand. God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome. So good to have you with us. Our ushers are going to hand you a visitor pack. Just wave that hand again so that they can see you. So glad you're here tonight. We had, on this side too, Roxroy, thank you. We had numerous visitors this morning, and I know that they were so blessed by Prophet Ed Trout's ministry. I hope that if you don't have a local church, you come back and visit us. And we ask you, just take a moment. There's a card that says guest. If you would just fill that out, we were going to pass an offering bucket by. Just drop it in, and it gives pastor an opportunity to call you and find out how you enjoyed the service. So thank you for doing that. And we're going to have an opportunity to give into the kingdom of God. And I'm going to read a passage, just 7 verses out of the book of Luke, where Jesus was ministering to the people. And I felt like it's very relevant when it comes to giving. So if you just listen to this scripture, Luke 5, verse 1, it says, on one occasion, Jesus was preaching to the crowds on the shore of Lake Galilee. There was a vast multitude of people pushing to get close to Jesus to hear the word of God. Do you know, there's comments from the front row. Do you know that there are still people that want to get close to Jesus? Even though he's not walking the earth, there are people that have They don't even understand what it is they need, but they are drawn and they need to get close to Jesus. They need to hear the teachings of Jesus, right? And it says Jesus noticed two fishing boats at the water's edge with a fisherman nearby rinsing their nets. Jesus climbed into the boat belonging to Simon Peter and he asked him, "Let me use your boat. Put it off a short distance away from shore so I can speak to the crowds." Do you know that that boat, that fishing boat, was Peter's livelihood? That was Peter's business. What Peter did, he was a fisherman. He would get up and he would go probably early hours of the morning, like you know, Bruce, right? Fishermen know. And he'd go out and he'd put his boat out and let down the nets and he'd sell that fish and that would be his salary. So this was his business. But Jesus said, you know, there are people here that need to hear the gospel. And I need what you have, Peter. Can I use your boat right now? So Peter lets Jesus take the boat out. And it says, Jesus sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And then this is what happened after that. This is the result of Peter responding to the Lord. It says, when he had finished, he said to Peter, "Now row out to deep water to cast your nets and you will have a great catch." Peter said, "Master, we've just come back from fishing all night and we didn't catch a thing. But if you insist, we'll go out again and we'll let down our nets because of your word." So when they pulled up their nets, they were shocked to see a huge catch of fish. So much that their nets, you like the sound of that, Bruce, come on. He just goes hallelujah when he hears a huge catch of fish. So much so that their nets were ready to burst. They waved to their business partners in the other boat for help. They ended up completely filling both boats with fish until their boats began to sink. Do you see what happens when you let the Lord use your resources? Let me tell you, you cannot outgive God. If God says, you know, people say, well, God doesn't need my money. You know, he understands. Let me tell you that God needs what we have. He needs our hands. He needs our mouths. He needs our feet. He needs our witness. And he needs us to give into the kingdom of God if we want to reach people. Amen. And there is a result. Let me tell you that what Peter tried to do in his own ability as a fisherman, he could make a living. He could get by. He could even prosper. But let me tell you, when the hand of God was on his business, there was a supernatural provision that came, something beyond what he could do in the natural. And I want to encourage you today, because we have faithful tithers and givers, people that are generous. Let me tell you, you can never outgive God. So tonight, as we come to give, we give for the purpose of extending God's kingdom. We give to see other people hear the gospel preached. Amen. And there will be a result, a tangible result upon your finances. Amen. And so there are envelopes right on the seats where you are. Those that are watching online, very simple to give. You can just, it's ascendchurch.us. If you're watching, you can click give online. It'll take you to our platform. If you're on Facebook, there'll be a link for you to give. Thank you for your faithfulness. And I just want to declare the word of God over you today. Father, I thank you that your word is true. Peter said, it doesn't look like it's going to work, Lord, but nevertheless, at your word, I will do this. And so, Father, today we give and we tithe, despite what the circumstances look like, despite whether our income looks like it's dropping off, if it looks like there's lack in the future, nevertheless, at your word, we give and we tithe and we thank you for a supernatural blessing resting upon our finances in the name of Jesus. If you believe it, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. There you are.
Oh, you wondered where I was, huh?
Wondered where you were. Thank you, ushers. Go ahead and visit us. If you just drop that guest card in there, appreciate it.
Thank you. How many of you are here this morning? Wave at me if you were here this morning. How many of you were not here this morning? Wave at me if you were not here this morning. All right. Well, we had church tonight just for you. But we had a great time this morning, and we're so glad to have Prophet Ed Trout with us this weekend. We've been friends for many, many years, probably 25 years. I remember meeting you in the airport in Johannesburg. Do you remember that? When I was with Pastor Theo and he introduced me the first time many, many years ago. And Ed's a very dear friend of ours and of this church and has an amazing ministry. Really, really has a wonderful ministry. And, you know, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4 that God has given to the church the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, and the teacher. It's called the fivefold ministry. God calls people, equips them, and anoints them to stand in these offices. And then God uses these people to minister to the body of Christ. The Bible says so that we can be equipped and so that we can do the work God's called us to do. And so we are very privileged to have Prophet Ed Trout with us. And I say this every time, but, you know, it bears repetition. It's just amazing to me how God uses him and shows him things, and he prophesies over people with such detail and such accuracy. I speak to them afterwards, and they're amazed that nobody could have known that. Well, the Lord knows everything about you, everything about you. And he just reveals to Ed what he wants you to know. And so we're going to just give Ed freedom tonight to just minister however the Lord would have him. Are you ready tonight? I said, are you ready? Say, bring it on. I'm ready. Welcome, Prophet Ed Trout, tonight. We're glad to have you here.
Thank you. Thank you. Such blinding lights, you can't see. Y'all can turn that little notch down some, y'all. Y'all can hear from Texas. I'm from Texas, y'all. I ain't from Florida. In fact, no one's from Florida anymore. They just come from somewhere else. They come from New York. I've heard a lot of New York accents today, all over the place. And in Florida, lots of them. As long as they bring their money and their taxes, that's fine. I'm Jewish. So, my name is Ed Trout. I'm husband of one wife, and I have 3 children, 9 grandchildren, and I live in San Antonio, Texas, where God lives. I like Texas, y'all. Have you been to Texas? Yeah. Where? San Antonio. Anybody been in San Antonio? Please turn your Bibles to the book of Matthew. My sister was quoting Luke, one of the few writers of the Bible that's not Jewish. He was a Greek boy. Luke was a Greek boy. He was a doctor. He was a medical doctor, and he grew up in mythology, and then he got converted to Judaism, what they call a proselyte. And then he became a Christian, and he was so enamored with all this, he followed them to Israel, where he wrote the book of Luke, reconstructing it from various informants. Matthew, the book of Matthew was written after Matthew lived and died. Matthew had his disciples, and his disciples reconstructed the book of Matthew as you know it. Mark, same thing. Mark was the most used, read of all the Gospels. It was throughout Europe, churches used repeatedly. That's why you have parts of Mark that says this wasn't included in the original manuscripts, and there's so many dubious little points because it's been so reproduced so many times. And then, of course, John is the only one that we know wrote it, Jewish disciples wrote in his time. In the Isle of Patmos, we assume, because he talks about himself, but he was only 19 when he met Jesus. So he was very young when he met the Lord. All the disciples were younger than Jesus anyway. So Peter was about 24. He was married. John wasn't. John was the younger of 2 brothers. And they seemed to get along, Peter and John. That's why Peter didn't do anything. He's always with Peter. John was always with Peter, but didn't do anything. Peter raises the man that's lame at the gate, not John. John took a long time to get going because he was very young. Him and his brother wanted to call down thunder. They were very dramatic. This you all know. It's in the Bible. I'm just telling you stuff that you all know already. But Matthew was a tax collector, as you know, and he couldn't have been young. he should have been quite deep in his 20s by that time. And he had a lot of following, and he was very much into the law and a very educated man. And, of course, his disciples wrote the book, no reference to himself personally. There's a big gap in the first few chapters. Someone trying to prove the lineage of Christ through the heritage of the bloodline. There's a big gap of 14 generations. No one understands how that happened. But either way, just thought you might find these things a little interesting. I'm a studier, as you might know. But Matthew chapter 13 and verse 44, the words of our Lord Jesus. And he uses this phraseology frequently, the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven. The kingdom, by definition, is a territory or people that is ruled by a king, governed, ruled, led by a king, belong to a king. The kingdom of heaven is like, and he'd tell a story, parable, an image, and he said in verse 44 of the book of chapter 13 of Matthew, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure, or like treasure, hidden in a field. The kingdom of God is not obvious, laying about. Everyone can see it. When a man found it, he hid it again. And then in his joy, he went and sold all he had and bought the field. Again, the kingdom, verse 45 of heaven, is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. The kingdom of God, for most people, kingdom of heaven, is a place of salvation and refuge. And God's okay with that. God's okay that you come to him because you desperately need him. Not a problem for the Lord. But the kingdom of heaven is so much more than just being rescued from destruction, being saved from eternal death. It's so much more, and that's why it's called a treasure, and not everybody finds it. But in these two different examples, that both of them were looking or wanting, and then when they found it, they were willing to give up everything they had to have it. My concern with my family of God is how much value they put on the kingdom of God. I've always said, if I can look at your bank account, I'll know where your treasure is. I'll know whether your money goes into your boat, into your children, into your cars, into your glittery shoes. I'll notice where your bank money... Did I say that loud? I can tell by where you put your money, your heart is. So you must understand that when someone loves the Lord or is hungry for the kingdom, they'll give up whatever, they'll go whatever it takes to get there. So what is there other than salvation? It's much more than salvation, because all your life, from the day you're born, you came here with nothing, and it's been a long, hard journey looking for happiness. Even our Constitution tells us that we have the right for the pursuit of happiness. So the forefathers of this nation recognized the plight in every human being looking for something, whatever makes them happy. But I can tell you honestly, as a person that's got some mileage and some wear and tear, that there's nothing in this world that will keep you satisfied. Nothing. Not a wife, not a husband, not a child, not money, not everything you've searched for your whole life. There's only one true joy, and it was the greatest discovery, even knowing the Lord, when I finally found out that who he was. It took a crisis in my life 20-odd years ago to find out really who he is and to enjoy him. You don't have anything that I could possibly want. I'm so content. I can't even relate to being jealous or envious because you've got nothing I want. I can admire what you have. I'm glad for you, but I'm so content, so content. And I can honestly say in every circumstance, every difficulty, every pressure, I'm truly happy. I'm not moved by circumstances or concern because there's nothing that you can take away. I have this immense joy, and I found this treasure, and I would give up everything for it because nothing else ever satisfied. Yes. Now, so you must be willing to pay a price and become searching for it. If you seek, you will find. God rewards them that diligently seek him. Now, I want to continue with this. I think I can take you a little deeper. Once again, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a net. And he changes the tone from the treasure now. That was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up to the shore and then sat down and collected the good fishing baskets and threw the bad ones away. This is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the fiery furnace where they will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Have you understood all these things? That's a very curious thing that Jesus said. Have you understood all these things as disciples? And they said, yes. And then he said to them, therefore, because of this, every teacher of the law, and it was a major task to be a teacher of the law. In the five groups that we had Pharisees that thought they knew more than anybody else and the Sadducees, but you had scribes who were very committed to, like lawyers interpreting the law, they were teachers of the law. People had to understand what the law actually says. Scribes. And so he said, therefore, everyone, the teacher of the law who has been instructed about the kingdom of heaven is like an owner of a house who brings out of his storeroom new treasures as well as old. So he's saying someone who teaches the law that grasps or embarks on this kingdom is like a man who gets his old treasures and his new and brings them both out. And it fascinated me that Jesus said this, which tells me that the Old Testament has many treasures and principles. Now, here's what I want to share with you. Here's what I want you to understand. When God called Israel or had a nation, it was for a purpose. The main purpose was to point us all to salvation. God wanted to bring a free gift of salvation, but like most people, we just don't understand what a free gift is like. We don't appreciate. If it comes too easy, we so quickly dismiss it and don't recognize it. And so when man's journey came, there were many nations on the earth, and God couldn't evolve a people that would be related to him or a group or a tribe or a religion. No, he wanted an entire nation that would create a history amongst all the people. They couldn't have had the best land, the most luscious. They had to have every obstacle and in their journey have a relationship that would become noted. Just that you know, Israel is the only nation in the world that its language has never changed. Even American changes all the time. Every 20 years we have a different take on the English language. And words we use in the South, like y'all, they have used guys and urines up north in the same country, the same language. Whereas Israeli has never changed. The Israel language, the same Old Testament Bible they read thousands of years is the same Hebrew they speak today. No difference. That's just one sign. They're a nation that has stayed together 2,000 years of being dissipated, came together in 1948, and they're still a nation. 1968, when was it? 48. What was 48? They were a nation, again, without any effort, just became one people. It's very natural. And it's not formed around religion. If you is an Israelite, you're not necessarily a Jew. It's like being an American, but not necessarily a Christian. It's that simple. You can be an Arab, but not a Muslim. You understand that? All right. Palestinian, but not necessarily Muslim. That's how it goes. Now, understand this, that the Jewish history of walking with God, with the 24 books of their Bible, and the whole journey, they saw the miraculous, they created a history of becoming God's people. So when Jesus came with the message of the kingdom of heaven, they understood God and his kingdom. They understood the history of from Noah's Ark to the crossing of the Red Sea, actually the Reed Sea. Just thought you might be interested in it. Just thought you might like to know They didn't cross the Red Sea like you understand was the Reed Sea they crossed. It's a whole delta of the Nile that runs into the ocean. Science has proven that in the same time as Moses crossing that big water expanse, the earthquake at Santorini outside of Greece, that big volcano Santorini formed, is where it caused a tidal wave that hit the same time, pushing back the water and keeping it there for some time and then splashing it onto the coincidence of the timing was just too remarkable. The Reed Sea, you cross, you can go through the Reed Sea. It's about as deep as your chest, but it's very long. To go through with children and animals and all the things they went through was not a small thing, and that was the real issue with the pursuing Egyptians. And for it to part and to walk on completely dry ground was absolutely mind-boggling. Of course, the tsunami wave that came and killed them was way high, just to understand. Just that some, because if you look where Moses was, he didn't go south to cross the Red Sea at the most difficult place. He crossed the Red Sea like he would have normally traveled. It's quite a normal, just that there were different water spanses over the delta of the Nile, which is all the rivers going into the... You all know this. Come on, this is not my own theory. It's on Discovery. It's on all science, on National Geographic. It's all that dealt with these things so many times for us. It's very interesting. But Christians don't take interest in these things. They just want to... Running 100 miles an hour, they'll give me the bottom line. It's fascinating. But these Jews had already formed, or this nation had already formed a relationship with God. So here he's teaching them about the kingdom of heaven and how it's a treasure, because he came to bring a whole new place. That's what the Israel was actually, 1 Peter chapter 1 says that these prophets were prophesying and looking into the future, longing to see and to understand what we now receive as salvation. They saw these things, they knew about these things, but they didn't understand it all. We receive a free gift of salvation, but we don't throw away this treasure from the old and from the new. What is the treasure from the old? Not the law. The law pointed to our need to get saved, but the relationship of Israel with God, the journey they walked and the faith that they gained and who they trusted. It's not that God has not changed. The same God then, he's the same God now. Are you hearing me? Nothing's new under the sun. You may think this pandemic is something new. I've got news for you. It's a repeated thing of so many times. We had the bubonic plague just 100 years ago. And one of our faith giants, a man from America, from California, called John G. Lake, who started one of the biggest revivals and movements in Southern Africa, he himself was helpful in the bubonic plague. When people were too scared to touch bodies, he was going full steam, didn't wear a mask. Didn't he sanitize his hands? In fact, he said to the scientist, put that bubonic plague in my hand and look at it under a microscope and watch it die. It's documented. It's not my opinion. I'm not lying to you. It's all documented. And you can watch the... They said they watched those diseases, not just germs, they are parasites, whatever they are, die on his hand. And because he had faith. He had real confidence in God. And he explains the logistics of faith. And these are many incidents throughout life. And while I'm on the topic... There was a group of prophets, not evangelists, not pastors, not apostles, traveling from Jerusalem in Acts 9 to a place called Antioch. Antioch was where all the happening churches was happening. It was the new economic boom in northern parts, north of Israel, quite a bit north of Israel. They were traveling towards that, and on the way there, one prophet, he had a name because he was very reputable, and his name was Agabus. He got up amongst them. It's in our Bible, in the book of Acts, which Luke wrote, by the way, Luke. He wrote it and he told us that he predicted there'd be a famine throughout the entire known Roman world. And that was the biggest section you can imagine as they knew it. For us, the world is small because we fly everywhere. They had to go by boat and walk and ride with a horse. So the Roman Empire was from the west, all around the Mediterranean, northern parts of Africa, all around Greece and all the different countries. If they possessed, they controlled. So that entire region was going to go through a famine. Your pastor was so aptly saying how that people are starving because of this shutdown. People are shutting down, and there are nations that are starving, and there's going to more die from starvation than ever from this disease. From COVID-19. Are you hearing me? And so that he predicted there'd be a famine. He didn't say it was God's judgment. He didn't say the solution, how long it would take. All they did was they decided because it's going to come and happen, they send supplies to their brethren in Jerusalem so they could survive it. So it was a normal, or it was a pattern really of occurrences. Life happens, no matter how spiritual you are, and we will always want to find a reason. Your God is so kind and so merciful in general that when Jesus even took his blood and put it in the mercy seat, his mercy was even more increased. So God is not judging. If God would judge us, we would be in serious trouble, serious. So when you see a hurricane hit the nation or the coast, there were hurricanes hitting this Florida coast long before anybody lived here. God wasn't judging Florida when no one was here. It was just the normal weather occurrence. You want to attach spiritual language to things that are not so. Now, they are sowing and reaping. It's true. It is true. But God is far more projected on eternity than he is on your little petty comforts of now. He'll help and he'll bless and he'll do. But his real heart is for eternal matters because you are immortal. You have an eternal spirit living in a mortal body. And you want to attach all your pleasures and all your importances to the things that pertain to you. Everything's about this body. 24 hours a day. You sleep one entire third of that. One third is gone. The other third is working to be able to take care of this body that's going anyway. And the other third is traveling this body, entertaining the body, feeding and washing the body, hopefully washing, and taking care of the body, which is all passing. So you give God a slice of time of that 24 hours, because the rest of it goes to your body. And God's not stressed by it. In fact, he came in the cool of the day to Adam and Eve because he knew the cycle that they were so subject to. And God's okay with that, but he wants quality time with you. You are of vital importance to God. In fact, he never sent his son to die for any angel or for any planet. It was for you. You are absolutely the apple of his eye. This treasure that you have to go after and really want and be willing to give up everything you have to get it is so precious. There's no value you can put on finding this immense kingdom of God. So what is this kingdom of heaven other than just salvation? It is a relationship. It is a satisfying part which you were born to, which satisfy you in not nobody else. When you get satisfied, you won't care what people think. A large portion of sitting here today are influenced and plagued and haunted by people's opinions. Right. Your success came from people's opinions or how they applauded you, and the same as your failures did. People made all the difference. Jesus didn't care what people thought about him. In fact, John 2 says he didn't need man's opinions or applause or their praise. He didn't care if they liked him, didn't like him. It was never dependent upon them. And that's some of the... Now, when you have found the kingdom and you know who he is and you are in relationship, genuine relationship with him, those things will have no more effect on you. If there's one thing that I'm sure of today is that the Lord really loves me. Yeah. I don't look at his love by the parking I get in front of the Piggly Wiggly. I don't look at if I get a good parking. I don't look at the offering when I leave a church if God loves me or whether God loves me because things work out there. Well, I know he loves me. I don't need any of those things to make me feel God loves me because I know him. And I don't want to leave here without you having that, at least the desire to know this kingdom of heaven, at least this hunger inside of your soul. Look at how much of the other things that have no value have taken your energy, your time, stressed you out, stole your sleep, taken so much of your joy away in your life and was never meant to be. The devil has come to steal, to lie and destroy. His end game is destruction. He will dangle a carrot in front of you, make you feel like you want that. And when you get it, almost get it all, then he wants, the end game is to destroy you. Even in relationship, your soul is yearning for this fulfillment of the kingdom of heaven that should be in your heart, the Lord and his kingdom and the Lord himself. But you've pursued relationship with man and you've fallen in love. When you listen to love songs, It is the most horrendous thing I've ever heard in my life. It's the most depressing thing. They call them love songs, but they sing things like, I will always love you. If I got on my knees and pleaded with you, please will you stay? I bought those shoes that walked out of me. Find time, you picked to leave me, Lucille, with four hungry children and a crop in the field. It's depressing. It's miserable. And when I work with people all my life, which I have done, they fall in love. It takes them on a nostalgic high and drops them as hard as a brick, and it destroys. The people are tormented by what they call in love. The way God designed us, because we're made in His image, is to put Him first and love Him with all of our hearts. To find the kingdom of God, says He satisfies us. Then we love our husbands or our wives or love other people as a result of an overflow, and whether they love us back or not is irrelevant. You don't need them, because love, real love, doesn't need anybody. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is kind and patience seeks not its own. So if you need someone, you can't possibly love them. Because you need God, and you love them because you've got so much love to give. Love is not give and take, it's all give. Because God's the one that gives you love. Now when someone expresses love to you or does loving things for you, it's actually God expressing His love through them. So when you lose that vessel of love, you'll raise up another one, because He's the source of it. And when you grasp that kingdom of God and that kingdom of heaven, that He is love, there's no real love outside of Him, then all the things that you've attached your worth and values to are going to suddenly come into perspective. That's why it's a treasure hidden in the land. Why, when He found it, He went and hid it back again in case somebody else would take it away from Him. And He sold everything He had. A merchant who was buying pearls, when he found this very big pearl, he knew, he understood, because he had some insight already of pearls. This must be worth a fortune. I am willing to give everything I have for that pearl. It's such an important pearl. And so your life, you've had some taste of things that have value, but it's left you so empty so many times. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there is nothing like the kingdom of heaven. Nothing, nothing, nothing like the Lord and His kingdom. He loves you so much. When you were born, you came into this world completely naked. Your mother had all the clothes waiting for you. When you leave, the same clothes you're wearing now will stay right here. You will go to the little box. You come in a small capacity. You leave in a small capacity. We go this whole route. We start out in a tiny bed and gets bigger into a twin and then into a full size and then a queen. Then we get married and a king, and then we get older. And then we have two beds because the man snores, another bedroom, and another bed. And it gets smaller and smaller. Eventually, in some tiny box. It goes from small to big to small again. You didn't think of that? It's life. It's life. As Joseph called it, the way of the world. It's the way of the world. And the journey's, you're coming through, you're passing through. You didn't come to this world, you're passing through it. So don't attach value to the wrong things. You're sitting here looking for a word for things that have such little value. And your soul should be yearning and searching for the kingdom of heaven. Because that's the only thing that really satisfied. There's nothing like it. Nothing. The devil tries to distract you all the time to keep you from it. He wants to hide that enormous valuable. The other parable that he told was a fisherman. And then he brought the part in about the separation between the wicked, he called them. And the only wicked, because you separate from God. Because there is not one person that's righteous. That's what the scripture says. We have all wandered away like sheep from the shepherd. And we've all gone our own way. Every single one, whether you've lied or committed murder, the same hell is waiting for you. The same liar and the same murderer will have the same punishment in hell. There's no degrees of hell. You're thinking now. That's how simple it is. Now, when you're forgiven, you're forgiven. Interesting how I found in my journey that God is much more focused and stressed about how we relate to people. He wants us to treat people with love and kindness. In fact, it's the only thing that He gives the devil right to beat us up with if we don't forgive. Forgiveness is very important, and our relationship with other people is very important. Jesus asks us to love our enemies, and only now, late in my Christian walk, I began to really ponder that. You know, forgiving my enemy was one thing, but now loving him or her, it's one thing when they've stopped being my enemy, but if they're continually my enemy, how do I love them? Can I just kill them and pretend I love them afterwards? I mean, it's such a hard thing. It's one thing if someone offends you, but when they're really out to hurt you, they make every effort to hurt you. Joseph said to his brothers, what you meant for my evil. You meant me evil. That's a hard thing to process when someone really wants to hurt you, deliberately. Now, if they offended at you, you can still process that. But for no apparent reason, for the most ridiculous things, they want to hurt you and do you damage. They want to destroy you, and you're supposed to love them. Yeah, how about you? I've always said to God, how about we switch places? You come here and you do that and I'll go there and I'll be telling you how to not to stress. Don't be anxious for anything. Love your enemy. I'll tell you, God. I've had this conversation with the Lord many times. You should see the conversations that great men of God have had with the Lord. You know, Moses, he's through such a fit. I told you, just kill me. I didn't want to do this anyway. Elijah, what a fit he threw. What are you doing here, Elijah? This woman. I mean, really, I can go on and on. A lot of guys just didn't end well. You know, there's Moses. You're supposed to end in the promised land. You didn't even get in the promised land. So it's just so there's so many people that have struggles with out there and so much pressure. So you're not the only one. Don't feel sorry for yourself. It's the whole journey. God's watching how you respond in your journey. You know, Job said, even if you kill me, I will still trust you. That's something else. No matter what happens, I'm going to trust you. You know, the first thing that happens when you're a pastor, I know, people start getting mad at me when God doesn't do for them as quick as he can. He doesn't answer their prayer. And he gets them. They want to punish God and not going to come to church anymore. You laugh, but they do it. They do it all the time. Right. They're punishing God. And God goes, oh, I'm so stressed. You laugh, but it's true. People really do that. They want to hate God, and doesn't help. God's not stressed by that. We are missing out on so much, and we need to have. We cannot teach someone else or help someone else if we don't have a relationship with the Lord first. Do you understand? Yeah. You can have an enormously powerful, effective ministry and still go to hell. Didn't know that, did you? Matthew 7. Yeah. You'll say in that day, didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we heal the sick? When you prophesy, I say, I don't know you. You didn't pursue the kingdom. You just did your ministry. You didn't do my kingdom. We got disconnected. Remain in me that I can remain in you. There's an effort you've got to make in that constant pursuit of this treasure. Don't let this treasure get by. It's the most happiest. Disney is not the happiest place on earth. The kingdom of heaven is. It is genuinely, and you can have it anywhere, anytime, anyhow, in the midst of COVID-19, 1950 COVID. You can do however bad it might. You can be in the midst of it. You can be content because he's your contentment. Are you hearing me? So when God separates the bad fish from the good fish and casts them in the lake of fire, it's those that don't receive Christ. That's what the real issue is. If God gives his only son, he will not be merciful to those that didn't receive a free gift. You've got to be brain damaged not to want to get saved. Right. It's a win-win. You can't lose a thing. There's nothing to lose. It's all win, right? Yes. So take from the old treasure, learn the principles of God, and from the new. That's why a rich man that's what a good teacher does. He takes from the old and the new and his treasures, brings them all together. We don't replace the one with the other. We serve the same God. Wonderful, mighty King of kings and Lord of all. He loves you so much. None of you are here today by accident. He's got it all perfectly well controlled. Every one of you. Every one of you. God knew you'd be here today. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Apparently you can. All right, let the games begin. Where was the lady I spoke to earlier who was going to bring her son? Which one's that now? Gigi. They made a movie about you, Gigi. In the 70s or what, 60s, whatever it was. Long time ago. Gigi, you got a hat like the pastor. Is the sun gonna shine? You got some, he's copper. I know he does. He does that. He's got your shoes on too. You got anointing in that family of hair, it seems to me. That boy's got some serious head, y'all. I used to have hair, but it was a long time ago. My head got to heaven before me. So when I get to heaven, I'm going to stand in the line where the hair is and trout hair, please. Thank you. So what's your name, fella, with the hair? What's your name? I can't hear.
Bars.
Your name is Bars? You called him Bars, Gigi? Okay, I knew that. How old are you, Bars? 17. Are you married?
No.
I'm just asking, I'm just checking. Are you in love? Do you, you have a girlfriend? I can get you one. Easy. I'm just kidding you, Boris. Just teasing. What do you want to do with your life? Just what? Computer science. You're a very intelligent man. What I really like about you is how calm you are. You're a non-panicky person. You're very calm, and you'll deal with the thing. You will deal with it. You won't panic. You won't react. And you always surprise everybody because you always come through. You always end up on the winning side. Somehow you always end up succeeding. It looks like you're not doing anything. It seems like you're not picking up your room. It seems like you're not. But eventually everything's in its place. Just who you are. You're not just not stressed about things, and you listen much more than you talk. You pay attention. You have a natural leadership skill. You may do well with computers because it's the modern thing right now, but the truth is your real gifting is in your skill to lead. You will excel, listen to me, under pressure. You'll always do the best in your life under pressure because you're born for it. You're born to lead. You're born to take people and bring them into safety. It's who you are. You've got a kingly anointing on you. Really, you have. Just choose your friends well. God has protected you from the wrong kinds of friends. You haven't been able to make a lot of friends because God has kept you from the wrong ones. It's not your time to have the right people. You're the leader, and they're going to follow you. And you've got good gifts. Don't be afraid to study because you're very smart. Your brain's still very much unused. You need to kick it into gear. Use it more. You like computers. You like the games. You like all that stuff. That's fine. There's other things you can do really well. The more information you have, the better you have, more tools you have, the more information you have. Good decisions need three main things to make to be well-made decisions. The first thing is as much information as possible. And the second is to have not emotions influence your decision-making, which is fine with you. And the third thing is you must take as long as possible to make a decision. Then you'll make a good one. Right? Gigi, you have how many children?
One.
Just the one? Are you planning any more?
No.
Oh, that's sad. God told you to fill the earth. You're not doing it.
I really want, actually. That's why I love the kids. But I
volunteer.
You
love kids. Well, they're selling them. They've got a special Walmart right now. There are a lot of interesting things happening in your life at the moment. God has blessed you guys. The devil's trying to distract you, even in business, with what looks like good proposals and different things, and I feel every alarm bell going off. Not to enter into this what looks so promising. It's all temporary. It's all hot air. It's not real. Your husband has a check, and tell him I said he should always follow his check because it's never been wrong yet. Even if it sounds good, if something bothers him inside, that's just one thing that's bothering him, it's all, and it's wrong. The times he's felt all green lights, it was always a blessing. God's going to bless him. There is a, beyond this thing, there's other open doors and good deals. You're not supposed to move. You can tell your husband that you're not supposed to move. It is a critical thing in your, if you move now, it is a critical mistake. Very important, because there are some major business breakthroughs waiting for you here, and you'll miss them all. That's God's promise. God has always done things with your husband at the last minute. It's never been easy. It's always been a struggle. Then suddenly there's this breakthrough. And he's always done it for you. And you'll do it again and again and again. And you'll keep doing it for him. Because God is with you. You're an interesting lady. You have a lot of faith, but you also get very tense and excited about everything. And the less you know, the better you, the happier you are. Otherwise, you stress everybody.
Thank you. Good to know.
But God's teaching you to be the prayer warrior. If you pray what you think you're praying wrongly, you must pray by the Spirit. Because then, in fact, the less you know, the better it is for you to pray. You have far more strength in your soul than you know, Gigi, to pray. But when you are in your head full of anxiety and full of stuff, then you don't pray right. So let the Spirit of God lead you. got a good husband. I don't know him, but I like him already. He's a good man. He's got an upright heart. He wants to do what's right. And he's hard on himself about things he wish he should have, would have, could have. He needs to stop that because it all works together for good. But you're right where God wants him to be. He's in the right place. It's a brand new future for him. Brand new, brand new. You guys are a blessing. You're a great asset. In fact, the best days of your life are up ahead.
Oh, thank you.
That's enough for you, Gigi.
Thank you so much.
And to think I'm making it all up. Yeah. So you were playing the guitar with a wonderful hairstyle. What is your name? David and Bathsheba. Close. Okay. Juju. Do I Gigi there and Juju there. You've got some unusual names here, guys. And you are legally married?
Yes, sir.
And how many children do you have?
Two.
Okay. And you come to this church?
Yes.
I like that. I like you. There's something about you I like, and I really need you to forgive the church in general because you've been burned. You just can't stand the stuff that you've seen. I want to tell you that this pastor of you have is not perfect, but he's the real thing. You'll never get false. You'll never get a pretense. You won't. He's not a car salesman. It's going to be real. But you have greatness in you. Enormous greatness in you, sir. And it needs to be applied. And the devil tried to get you offended. And your offense comes from way back in your childhood with your father. That's how far back it comes. So when people of leadership quality do that, it just burns your soul. Because you're not like that. You're a good man. You've been accused of things you were not even guilty of. You've taken a lot of beatings different ways, but you're a good man. And you're a blessing. You're definitely a mega addition to this family. Mega addition. You're really a good man. As for you, my sister, you're a dreamer. Where the Lord comes to you in dreams. God speaks to you much more than you know. And you need to take it more seriously. Because you hear God. You absolutely hear God. There's no question. And the things when God speaks to you, 90% of the time, it's not for you. It's for someone else. And you do hear God clearly. But you can get very adamant about some things. Very stuck. And God's teaching you how to work with it more carefully. You're born in an unusual family, an unusual circumstance, usual everything. But it was all part of God's plan. You were born for such a time as this, to be together. And so you've got a good man, you really appreciate him, and you would never have picked him when you were younger. He wouldn't have been the guy you would have found. But now you can see how well you guys get together, how well you form a good team in so many ways. And so God's got to put his blessing upon your lives. God broke a curse in your life, my sister, of people that have died from strange sicknesses in your family. It will never touch you. Never. Never. God's on your side. There's one that's been taken from you, separated from you, distanced from you, that God's bringing back right to your own home. That's God's promise. God will show you God can do the most impossible thing because he loves you so much. He's pleased with you and he's proud of you. He says, "It's my girl." So where's my drummer boy? What happened to him? Dude. And you with your daughter there? She likes me now. What's your name, young lady? Samantha. And your name, sir?
Yuvaski.
That's what do they call you? Duffy or Doffy?
Muff.
Yeah, I was close. Buff. Muff. Jeez.
Yeah, that's it.
They call me Special Ed. So, what do you do for a living, Muff?
I play drums for a living.
They actually pay you to get up there and play drums?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I wanted to get paid for singing, and they say they'll pay me not to sing. I sing like a nightingale, apparently. How many children do you have?
Seven.
You have seven kids?
Yes.
Two of you together? No. Is it like his, hers, and ours?
12 all together.
Pardon?
12 all together.
12 all together. Yes, are you planning more? Why stop now? What's 12? I mean, hey. How many do you have, sister?
Five.
You have five and you have seven, so you have 12 together. Wow. But none together physically?
None together.
No. Okay. Well, I'm glad you guys are married. You come a long way. Mm-hmm. My brother, you owe God. You owe God because the way you were headed, you should have been dead. You were going to hurt yourself big time. And God rescued you because of your mama's prayer. Someone prayed for you and covered you and covered you and covered you. And that's why you're here today. So you owe her big time. And you have broken through. You won't be able to go back to that person that you were. Because never really who you really were in the first place. You did some stupid, stupid things. Funny thing is you were doing those crazy, dangerous things and you knew they were wrong. And you still did them. You knew you were playing with fire. But God's hand was upon you. Now, I know that you play drums, but as God is my Lord and Savior and my witness, you have a prophetic mantle on you that is amazing. Wow. You hear God, and that mantle of yours has gone to sleep. Mm-hmm. It needs to be woken up. Mm-hmm. The devil's trying to tell you have no business doing those things because you this, that, and you did that, and that's a lie. It's a lie. God's redeemed you and wiped the record clear as if you did nothing wrong. So you need to stand in it now and be that prophet of God because you hear God. Just don't do strange stuff like you saw them do in the church. Please, don't do that. Don't shake and shiver and do all that stuff. Don't do it. Don't do it. Just be normal. As normal as you can be. That's scary. He's a real comic. Have you ever seen how funny he can be? He must see him with a mirror. She's laughed at him a few times, but it's getting old now. But he's just... Yeah, I mean, he can pull a face or two, entertain himself, a whole one-man show. He's a good guy. He's a good guy. God says, I'm to tell you that every one of your children are going to be saved, every one of them. He has marked each one, although they've got some crazy stuff going on right now. God's going to pull them in, reel them in. Watching over them, but he wants you to pray, to make it an effort to pray for your children, to be responsible for them spiritually. As for you, young lady, you're a delight to the Lord. You had a hard fight. I don't know what the battle, you're full of battle scars. Although you're full of joy, you had a lot of battle scars. You tried to be the best wife, the best mom. You tried so hard, and you didn't fail. You did not fail. The devil just kept knocking you down. He kept getting up and trying, and till you couldn't anymore. And the Lord has turned you loose and freed you, and he's not displeased in the slightest with you. And you need to walk in that freedom. It's God's plan. One of your children has carried a tremendous burden of, it's really a strange thing. No matter what you do, it's just never good enough. But God is going to heal that child incredibly. And rescue them out of the pit of darkness. That's God's promise. It's, in fact, God's busy as we speak. That's what I'm saying, y'all. Are we bored yet? What's your name with a beard? Peyton, like Peyton Place. Do you know what that is? It's before your time. It shows you how old I am. Who remembers Peyton Place? You remember Peyton Place? And this next to you is your... Who's next to you? Wow. Were you 10 when you had him? 12, okay. So are you married? Are you born again? Peyton, are you born again? Do you speak in tongues? All you got to do is say Honda, Kawasaki, Yamaha, Suzuki. Just say it fast. Not hard. Do you come to church frequently? You come often, that's good. What do you do? What pilot? What do you want to fly? You want to fly 777s. Yeah, it was rather big, two-engine bus. Yeah, it's just long taxi flights. That's all they are. I know a few pilots that have done that for a while. You've got a good heart. You're very much walking a very lonely road in your life. I don't know what's with that. And you've had some strange occurrences like people you cared about that. And I've died, but just something happened, and it kept you from committing yourself to anybody. You're kind of an unusual person, too. You have your own little idiosyncrasies and own little habits. Even your eating habits are unusual, very strange. You have your own way of patterns of doing things, and you'll eat this thing first, and then food mustn't touch, and it's so strange, odd things that you have that just your personality, but you're really loyal. You're a one-woman man. You're just not a guy that dates 1,000 girls, and this is not your nature. And you don't do well with disappointment. It's really an issue in your life. People mustn't say one thing and do another. That disappoints you terribly. And so you're carrying all those things in your life, and God wants to heal that and restore your joy to you and make you glad again. Not surviving and coping. He wants you to be full of gladness and victory. Yes? But God's hands on you, it's no question. You will fly for a season. There's no doubt about that. But it won't pan out the way you think. God's got other things specifically designed for you. In a specialization of some kind in that industry. It's not the general commercial for you. You will do it for a short while, but it won't stay there. Okay, so how many kids do you have, ma'am? Where's the other child? In Nashville, Tennessee. Yes, sure. I was just there a while ago. Nashville. A lot of cowboys. They have no shortage of worship singers in that city. I mean, everybody can sing and play something. It's incredible. So, you only have two? You never lost a child? I feel like one's missing. That's what it feels like to me. But either way, you're a remarkable lady. You're an author. You're a writer. You're a composer. You have so much inside of you to put things together. You're very intelligent, very structured by nature. You start at A and you finish at Z. Don't kind of get me halfway in the middle of it and try and start me. Let's start at one point and finish another. That's your nature. And so you're going to write some books. It's part of God's plan for you. And it will be not Christian books, but they will be very much gifted of God. Touch people's lives with a message in it. There's a lot of depth in you, a lot of depth. You're also, like him, a listener, real listener. You pay attention. And you remember stuff. They mustn't even bother to try and tell you they said something else because you remember everything in detail. You just keep a record of things in your brain. But you're a wonderful delight to the Lord. There has been a repeated some sort of thing in your family of illness, latter years of their lives, but it won't touch you. It'll bypass you too. God broke every curse. There's some restoration in your family that's been a bit of a dislocation. God's going to start fixing those things that were unfixable. I want you to know that. Thank you. All right. Thank you, Jesus. Are we bored yet? Come on, guys. Tell me you're bored. Who wrote Hella on the screen? Hella. Thank you, Jesus. Who's the person right in the very back in the sound booth? Little lady with long hair. How about both of them? Let's get the first one with a corner lady. Is that my water right there? May I have that? What's your name, young lady? Speak to me. What's your name? Natalie. What's your blood type and bank account? How old are you, Natalie? Third. Are you serious? And you're hiding back there. Are you married and love what? You what?
Husband's back there too.
Dude, the man with the hair. Lovely hairstyle, love it. It's a wash and wear. Never have to wear a hat. You don't have bad bear days. All right, thank you. It's really annoying, the light. I cannot see you. So what do you do, sir?
I work at the factory. I drive an 18-wheeler.
You drive an 18-wheeler?
Yes, sir.
For Pepsi?
Yes.
Not Coke, Pepsi.
No, Pepsi.
All right.
100%.
Don't mention Coke yet.
What do you do, ma'am? What do you do? Do you like him?
Yeah, of course. I love him.
Dude.
I do ultrasounds. I'm an independent contractor. So I work for different doctor's office.
Where are you from?
I was born in Colombia.
Colombia. All right. Good coffee.
Yes.
So they say. And emeralds. So, and you have children?
We have two.
Just two, and you're from Colombia?
Yes, that's enough.
Colombia, they have 10 and 8 and 9. No?
No, only two.
No más, chicos? Más. Niños? No? Más? Okay, good. Dude, you've been on the truck, the road too long, too many times. That's coming to an end. That season of trucking is coming to an end. You're a hard worker. You're going to be in a similar industry, but not behind the wheel. You're going to go to a more stable, regular type job situation because you're very good with people. People like you, and you can work with the most difficult of workers that don't always show up for work. And you have a tremendous rapport with people like that. And you're everybody's friend. You are a true, trustworthy. People can tell you things in confidence. Wild horses won't drag it out of you. You're just very confident by nature. And you're not a judgmental person. You absolutely belong in this house because you have the right spirit to be trusted in more ways than one. You see a lot, but you don't talk a lot. You don't judge a lot. You just listen, watch, and you're a great help. And God will reward you openly what you do in secret. You don't want people to know what you do. You're just glad to do it. And God loves you for it. My sister, God has promised you a house of your dreams. You're not the one that complains, but your house is coming very close now. It won't be long, and you will have the house that God has promised you. It's going to be wonderful, and there's also a family member that you really wish was here. You feel helpless. You want to help them. God's going to orchestrate and make a plan, do something very specifically for you. Yes?
Yes.
Gloria. Gloria a Dios.
Thank you.
My Espiritu Santo. Thank you. The other girl back there, what's your name, girlfriend?
Danny.
Danny, and how old are you, sweet lady?
I'm 23.
Turning? 23. 23, and are you married and love what?
No, I'm not married. Not yet.
Is it someone, are you dating someone?
No.
Is it someone you like?
No.
That was a...
Yeah, no.
Suspicious no. What do you do?
I was working as a VPK teacher, but right now I'm not working. Not
You're like doing, a pastor, you know? Not working.
Mm-mm.
They don't work either. Yep. So you're a school teacher, you say?
Yeah.
Preschool, school teacher of mm-hmm. some kind. Yeah, there is a lot of skills in you. You've had to go through some things in your family, watch your family, not you yourself, but your family have gone through things, and there's far more skill in you from your family. There's a DNA inside of you to always find a way, to always come out on the top. And being a preschool teacher was good. It was a good thing to do for now, but it's not your future at all. In fact, you're not finished schooling. I see more books in front of you, education, and you're going to complete the thing you thought you weren't going to do. Now you're going to do it and do it and really love it. You're going to be a specialized kind of teacher. You're not only going to teach here, you'll teach in different places. Specialized. Because you have an incredible patience. And with people that really have special needs too. Very, very patient lady. And they mustn't underestimate you because you're not scared. You're a fighter. If you really believe in something, you'll give all you got. And you've made a serious commitment to the Lord and God's hands on you and say, he wants to send you to the nations. And that teaching will be the platform he'll use, including China. So, shouldn't he?
Wow.
Do you speak Chinese? Ni hao. Go for it. Go for it, he says. Abel. They killed Abel. His brother killed him. Why couldn't your mother call you Adam rather than Abel? At least Adam. Dad's fault, yes. Blame him. Blame him. Blame Tom. That's what I say. Blame him. So, Jill, pick someone for me. Look for someone that's really a bad sinner. Hello, Brian. And you're holding on to this lady who's your daughter? Wife. Hello, thank you for marrying him.
Of course.
It was a dirty job, but somebody will do it, right?
Yes.
What's your name?
My name is Elena.
Elena?
Yes, you got it.
Uh-huh. And what do you do, sir, Brian?
I teach martial arts.
Hey-oh! I can run. That's how I fight. Run. Why ask someone else to fight for me? Yep. You teach the martial arts, really?
Yes.
Which particular one?
Taekwondo, self-defense, some mixed martial arts.
Yeah. Were the Lord for you to leave behind you what is behind you? Growing up, even you couldn't please someone as hard as you tried. It was always less than. It really scarred your soul. And I'm here to tell you from God, you did nothing wrong. So you can stop trying to please or correct it because it wasn't you. Fault did not lay with you. And to be the man that you are, you may teach martial arts, but you really have a great rapport with the next generation. And you're going to be the father you didn't have to other people. Not just your own kids, but other kids too. That's God's plan for you. He's asking you to forgive a lot of people from where you come from. And your plan to do in this church is regrouping your thoughts and your mind to have the gospel in the way that this revolutionary projection will come, that we don't compromise, but we have no judgment for anyone, that God loves everyone. And you're going to project that. Your real family are the children of God, where you really belong. You say words don't affect you, but they did. Someone called you a loser. Use the word loser. And it's not true. It was never true then. It's not true now. So I'm removing it from your soul, all those negative words, because you're a good man. You're a kind man. And if they are intimidated or jealous of your kind, gentle spirit, because you are, you have a gentle spirit. You do. Don't apologize for that. That all that martial arts is an outward, but inside of you is a tender-hearted man. And God loves you for that. He does. You're very artistic, too. You just haven't found it yet. You haven't rediscovered that you're this. I see a whole studio coming in your life that you'll be doing arts. You really have a lot of gifting. Forget about pleasing your family. You please God. And here's your family right here. You are amongst family now. Elena, you're a blessing. You're a tough little lady. He didn't know when he married you how tough you were. He thought you were just gorgeous. He had no idea that you don't want to mess with that girl. Mm-mm. Forget martial arts. You'll be afraid of... Be afraid. Be very afraid. The woman who... Nothing like a woman that's like her that gets mad. You must get the martial arts. She's not, and that's inside of her. She'll protect what she believes, she cares about. And she's a straight shooter. You like truth. You love truth. You can deal with people's weaknesses, but don't lie to me. Just tell it me like it is. Yes. So know where I am. I can lock my doors for a thief and a murderer, but I don't know how to keep a liar out. And that's how you are. You're a blessing. You're never going to please the whole family, your whole family either. It's like they've all got these different demands on you. Just shake it off. You're a blessing and God will take care of you. It's that simple.
Thank you.
Yes?
Yes.
Wonderful. How many children do you have?
Zero.
At this point. Do you want to go home now?
We just got married in December.
So that was 5 months ago. We could have...
Yes.
Boy, we could have been well on our way already. Yeah, isn't that fun? It's fun to be in the sun. I don't know what time we have, how much time we have and what time we've used. I don't know. Luke, what do you say, Luke? Now. What do you say, Luke? You've got kids at home. He has little kids. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you. That helped me a whole lot. What's your name with a cross around her neck? The sweet lady here.
Zarina.
Zarina? Serena. Oh, that's what I said first. Okay, Zarina, are you married to Zorro?
No. No.
You married?
No.
Oh, do you want to get married?
Perhaps.
Perhaps. And what do you do, Zarina?
Right now, I am ministering unto the Lord. I'm looking for my next assignment.
The next job, right. The thing is, you have to let go of the chapter before. You have to let go of yesterday. You still haven't fully processed all that stuff. And I'm sorry for what you've been through. I'm sorry for that. You tried so hard. It really wasn't your fault. You just, if anything, you hung on too long. You were too sweet. You misconstrued weakness, or you overstepped that softness. You know, being loving and kind doesn't mean you must be a fool. And people used you, kept saying yes instead of no. And they tore your heart out. They said they loved you and they lied. It was a lot of strange things. But this is a new chapter of your life. Put it behind you. This is a new day. Do say administrative office that you'll work because you're a hard worker. People underestimate you. They start you off low and they soon give you the keys because you are such a dependable, honest young lady. And God is on your side. You've walked a very lonely road. A lot of people that should love you and should have been in your family, they hardly even know you exist. But God's brought you this far. See, you're eclectic. You collect things. You keep stuff. You don't throw anything away. It's just books and papers. Lord Jesus, help us. The irony is you know where everything is. That's what really scares me. You find it all. You're just very smart. You're a good communicator. You're a good teacher. And you're very trustworthy. If I would give you one name, I'd say she's trustworthy. Dependable. You can depend on that girl. No question. Go, girl. Yep, I know that's right. So, thank you, Jesus, for the memories. What's your name, sir, with the mustache and the face and the hair? Boy? Wow, got some very unusual names here today, haven't we? Are you married, sir?
No.
Because with a name like that, you have to find someone with a strange name, too. So that's not always easy, right?
Right.
I'm just kidding. Where are you from?
Cuban.
Cuba. Okay, good Cuba. They got cigars there, I heard. I haven't been there. I was scheduled to go on a cruise there, and before we left, the president said you can't go anymore. And I was so disappointed, because I wanted to see Cuba. They have a cruise that has a small ship that stops at different ports in the Cuba, and then you spend the night there, and they take you on shore, and the shows are all on shore. It's a very small cruise line. I was looking forward to it, and it didn't happen some years ago. Not that you're all interested in my little story, but that happened. So what do you do, sir?
I'm a real estate investor.
A real estate investor, because God's giving you some miracle breakthroughs financially. That's the word I'm hearing. You've been stretched and you're tired and frustrated. And people owe you money. People that your friends you trusted didn't let you down. So it's been a very strange journey for you. Unusual stuff's happened to you. But God says, look to the future because I know the plans I have for you to do you good and not to harm. I want to bless you. And you need to keep filling yourself with the word. You made some crazy mistakes, I want to tell you. You've done some things the devil keeps telling you. That's why you're doing. That's why you're suffering. It's not true. Because God is your covering. God is your protector. God is your righteous. Jesus is your righteousness. Yes? So it's not that. Don't go cause and effect. God will help you. Put your faith in the Lord and watch God move. Don't miss a church service. Get all you can of the word inside of you. Yes? Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Golly, I know you all saying, pick me. Luke, I haven't ministered to you. I just saw two children, but you got them already. Luke and Francesca. Francesca sounds Italian. Sounds like an Italian restaurant. Come to Francesca's. We give you a good pasta. So, you are legally married, right?
Yes.
How many years now?
Almost 9.
Almost 9 years. That's amazing. Luca, and you work in a church in Miami, right? I hate to be the one to tell you this, and I would not have told you otherwise. I was going to keep it to myself. But your time is coming up to an end there, much faster than you think. There's nothing wrong. They're good people, doing a good job, but they're not using you correctly. Your capacity is way more than you have. You are musical, there's no question, but you have other giftings too. You're a pastor. You're a minister. You have taught here and there, but not much, and you need to do far more of that. That's all part of the plan. And so you're just abiding your time and living on that shoestring budget. But the Lord has got other plans for you. You're going to have your breakthrough, I promise you. So you just prepare your heart that one door closes because God's taking you. And if he closes the door, he's taking you forward. He never moves you without promoting you. If he's not going to promote you, he leaves you where you are. So any movement is promotion. But you've come to the end of that season. I don't know what's going on in your life. I have no clue. They don't discuss you with me, but I feel like they, and please don't be offended if I say something that's offensive to you, but they got you for one thing and you're doing other things. And they promised you one thing and they did something else. And all those things are, God's been tolerant, but he's not pleased with it. And all those things are concerning the Lord because you're untapped treasure and talent, both of you. And God's not going to allow that anymore. He wants to use you, but it's been a very good season for you to train and discipline and taught you a whole bunch of things you thought you knew. And so you're not the same person, but God is going to open up doors. You'll never lose your tie to your family. Never. You'll always be very closely knit with them, and there'll be a time again when you will definitely work together with them because your father's going into a whole new season. This is the season he was born for now. And you're going to be astounded at what God's going to do. Astounded. Everyone will have to admit it has to be the Lord. and then there'll be a time when, not now, but when you'll be grafted into it. And you won't stay away because it's so into you, because you were called to make a real impact. And you're not being utilized fully. You work hard. I mean, I see hours and hours of long hours of work you do, but you're not having the use and impact you're supposed to have. Working, they give you every task, everything they give you, everything. It's like you haven't got enough to do, and they still give another thing, another thing. And the other guys are not doing anything. That drives me crazy. And so, but the Lord's seeing all that, and He'll take care of it. And He's tested your heart, and He found you not lacking or wanting, so He's going to promote you. That's as simple as that. Francisca, you're a blessing. You're a sweetheart and a great support and a great mom and very tender-hearted and far wiser than you think you are, far more insightful. And God's going to bless you. You're going to have your own house with a pool. I'm not sure what that means. Just have to say it. Had to get out of my mouth. And there's a third child, just not yet. But there is one, definitely. Woohoo! It's like a factory. It's like, how many do you have now?
7 grandchildren.
All right. Well, you'll have more than me. I have 9. You'll end up more than me, for sure. You have 4 kids. You should have 3 a kid. That's, wow, it's like 12. So I'm saying 4 kids times 3, at least, average. That's 12 to 15 kids. A lot of gifts. Christmas time is very expensive. My grandkids think I'm the ATM. You've heard of El Shaddai? I'm Elsha Grandpa. They really think I'm rich. They really do. They even say it. Why they think that? That you must think. You must think that I come from Florida, from Jupiter. I don't. Are you all blessed?
Yes.
If you didn't get a word tonight, it means they must invite me to come again at the next epidemic. Yes, epidemic, pandemic. There won't be any more. There's no comeback. There's no second wave of this. It's not. There's no second wave of it. There'll be a few people sick, but they'll try to. A lot of it's politics.
Yeah.
Manipulation and all those things. But the Lord's using it all for His purpose. God's still on the throne. Let nobody tell you otherwise. Do you know that Pontius Pilate said to Jesus, "Speak up, I have the power of life and death over you." And Jesus said, "You have nothing except God give it to you." So at the end of the day, God is the boss. So trust Him that He knows what He's doing. He's got a much bigger plan in motion. And you are part of that plan. There will be, there isn't a few more. We've had these fires and riots, but I don't know. There was 3 major calamities in our nation this year that would be. And I know the pandemic was a second. It may be the riots. But the riots will come to an end very shortly too now. It'll stop. Just suddenly, it'll stop. And there's so much going on, but God wants us to be the salt of the earth and light of the world. Do your job. Be a witness. Let life come out of you, right?
Yes.
Right, Abel? What happened to your mother? She left. All right. Did you want to prophesy? Are you sure? That boy's got the goods. Don't even fool you, but he's blonde. I've got books and CDs back there if you want to come look at them.
Thanks, let's give the Lord some praise and thanks for Prophet Ed Trout tonight. Praise God. That was awesome, man. That was awesome. Amen. Let me just say this to you, Gigi. I never said one word to. I never do. I never tell him anything. It's all God. Not one word. My son, I never said one word. Because I deliberately do that. Because otherwise you think, well, you know, did my dad tell you to say that? I just want you to hear from the Lord. And so, thank you so much. And I love to see other people get prophesied over. You know, you don't want to just sit here always, prophesy over me. Lord, prophesy over them. Give them a word. The Bible says rejoice and prefer others. And amen. So I'm so glad for everyone. And if you didn't get a word tonight, you don't need it. Don't worry about it. But we want to have Ed Trout back next time for a seminar. We want to have him do a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and actually teach you how to move in the prophetic. Am I right? Teach you how to be used. Because many of you, like Prophet Ed was saying about Muff and Abel, and there's other people here, Angela and other people, and there's God's given you a prophetic anointing and gifting, and you need someone to help you how to release it, how to tap into it, how to flow with it. He's going to teach you how to interpret dreams. And we've got to have him back for a seminar next time. Don't you think so? Yes. Amen. Well, before we go home tonight, I so appreciate Ed Trout coming here. Thank you. This is the first time he's been out of his house in 2.5 months. Not out the house, but you haven't. Usually he's on the road. How many weeks a year? How many meetings a year?
4 days a month.
He's usually at home 4 days a month. He's out 26 days a month. He does over 300 meetings a year. So for him to be at home for 2.5 months is crazy. So I don't know. I was sitting on the outside of my patio, and I felt the Lord stir and said, call Ed. He's at home too. And I said, where you been? I've been at home for the 2.5 months. So we haven't missed the service. Thank God we never closed one Sunday. Not one person in our church got ill. Praise God for that. And so I said, well, we open. Come on down. And so he did. And thank you so much, Ed, for your friendship over these many, many years. Ed has been a good friend to me. And I've gone through some of the most difficult times in my life. And he was there to stand with me. And I appreciate that. And I want to be a blessing to his ministry, because the Bible tells us in 3 John, and I'm just going to read 3 verses. It says, dear friend, you're being faithful to God when you care for the traveling teachers who pass through. Even though they are strangers to you, they have told the church here of your loving friendship. And he said, please continue providing for such teachers in a manner that pleases God. For they are traveling for the Lord, and they accept nothing from people who are not believers. And is that the end of it? So we ourselves should support them, so we can be their partners as they teach the truth. Now, one thing I love about when you give to a ministry like Prophet Ed Trout, you become a partner with him. In other words, whatever God does through his ministry, wherever he is, you have a part in it simply by supporting him financially. The Passion Bible says it like this. The Passion Bible, which I'm just loving. Any of you got a Passion Bible? Oh, you got to get a Passion Bible. I'm telling you, I love it. We got them in the lobby. It's almost like reading the Bible for the first time. I just get so much out of the Passion. The Passion says, now, if you would be so kind, send them on their way with a generous gift in a manner that would honor God. So we want to be a blessing to Ed. Of course, him coming down, there's flights and there's hotel and all those things. But we, more than that, we want to be a blessing. We want to sow into his ministry. And so I'm going to give you an opportunity right now. If you're blessed tonight, please be as generous as you can. You can give to Ascend Church. You can give by credit card, debit card. You can write a check to Ascend Church. Whatever's given in this offering will go all 100% to Ed Trout's ministry. And praise God. God's provided for you though, Ed, right? The last 2.5 months you've been home, the Lord's provided. Well, we want to be a blessing. How many of you want to be a blessing to Prophet Ed Trout's ministry? And we believe we should support him. How many believe he should continue traveling and ministering to people like he has tonight? It's amazing. Just one word can have such a great impact on a person's life. So are you ready to give tonight? If you're ready, say amen. If you're not ready, you need more time, say, oh me. The amens have it. Thank you, ushers. Go right ahead. Lord, we thank you tonight for every person that's giving. You said as we give, you would cause men to give back to us. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Thank you, Lord, for more than enough running over blessings in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. Sure.
I don't know if you saw this on your phone, but it says the West Palm Beach Police Department has reported a major road closure, I-95 northbound and southbound from Palm Beach Lakes to Southern is closed. I'm guessing from protests and all that. So just to let you know, for those who are going to be traveling.
Taking the 95. All right. Anything else I need to mention? We can go home. We ready? All righty. Lord, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You are the faithful one. We thank you as we go home tonight. We know you're with us wherever we go. We know that your angels protect us wherever we go. We know, Lord, that if you're for us, what can be against us? We thank you. We don't have to worry. We don't have to fear. Lord Jesus, thank you that you're everything we need, and we praise you tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you. We hope to see you next Sunday. I'll be preaching next Sunday. Bring somebody to church. Invite someone. Please go take a look at Prophet Ed's resource table back there. He's got some great material that'll be a blessing to you. And we'll see you next time, everybody. Be the crowd.